So always see the Samsung is the Dajjal. Now he's looking at me straight.
I don't want to see him.
Right, all that plugs. It's okay. I don't need it. This. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم preparing the people for whatever imtihan and fitna in a normal madrasa when you prepare a child for an imtihan then you do two things one is that before the imtihan every day you say very hard imtihan very hard imtihan you better learn hard you don't learn you're going to fail so you make the person worry about it Then the night before the imtihan, when he comes for his steps, where you remember what questions you said. So at that time you tell him, don't worry, very easy imtihan. Nothing hard, you'll pass. So that person, he's kept in a zone between not becoming lax, and at the same time not becoming despondent. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Quran described what we're going to see, then on one side Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it very big. The fitna of shaitan, the fitna of dajjal, such things which were never seen from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, very big. And as soon as Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that Sahaba were getting worried, how will we defend? And he told him nothing to worry about. If I am there, I'll fight against. And if you are there, Allah will help everyone. You'll manage. Similarly, when Quran spoke, he said, Inna kayda shaitan. That shaitan is very weak. Rather, women are strong. Worry about them. Shaitan is nothing. Whereas shaitan is something to worry about. So the demand was that you don't become lax. You know you're playing the game. And at the same time you don't become despondent. When we came in this world, it's like a cricket match. In this match, we the batsmen. And our wicket is our iman. And the bowler, and obviously he'll be a fast bowler, that's Mr. Iblis Shaitan himself. And he got the best of fielders because the jinn can dive. In this game, they have to prove a point that they can knock you out. And the world of spectators is the world of the angels. Because the angels are the one who asked the question first, that will man ever survive this match? So each one of us, when you walked in the world, the match started. But the amazing thing is, that batsman who doesn't know he's batting, and he is also looking in the stadium and saying, what a smart stadium this is. He is looking at the lights, he is looking at the audience. He is looking to see if he can pick up one girl in that whole stadium, how she looks. As that ball is coming, his wicket is not going to be protected. So we are supposed to have been bowled out long ago. Because we don't even know we are writing the exam. We came sitting in the imtihan gah, but we never brought our pen. We never knew there's a page in front of us. Now we are looking at the windows, we are looking at the roof leaking, we are looking at the carpets need changing, or carpet is too old, or carpet is too cold. Our mind went everywhere except on the imtihan. And now imagine after 3 hours they tell you, get lost, get out. Suddenly you become despondent. I never knew I'm writing. So in the normal world, if you're playing a cricket game, you out first ball. And if you're writing an exam, you would have failed long ago. But in this world of Iman, Allah Ta'ala is playing a different game also. And this is the game which is called the power of Allah against Shaitan. That this is a war which is being waged on one side in the world of Kufr. لِيُنْذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِنْ لَدُنْهُ The Quran says that we are giving you the khabar, the warning of a huge war. One is the war on the battlefield, one is the war on the ground like what we're facing. But in this war on one side will be the world of shaitan, the world of technology, the world of wealth, the world of power, the world of arms, the world of drugs, the world of women, the world of cars, the world of phones. That's all on one side. And on the other side, if you say one small man is standing, one Ahmed, one Muhammad, one 14-year-old, one 15-year-old, how is he going to fight that whole world? So Almighty Allah said that the war on one side is the entire world of kufr. And on the other side, it's Allah Himself. Min ladunhu. Meaning one of us that we fight this war. Musa alayhi salam meets Khidr alayhi salam. So when he comes to Khidr alayhi salam, he's amazed at the knowledge of Khidr. So Khidr mentions one point, that this knowledge is not from my side, it's from Allah's side. Meaning I'm just a normal man. But when Allah sends, I become unique. One of us now are that unique person. Because through us, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala is fighting a war. That is why you can create a revolution which you can never dream about. And people have done it in the past and they're going to still do it. One man stands up against the whole world of kufr. And when he dies, an entire revolution has taken place. People slept in a cave for over 300 years. In their sleep, they created revolution. Because when Allah fights a war on behalf of someone, he's sleeping his war. He's being awake his war. He's going to toilet his war. He's smiling his war. He's eating his war. Whatever he does, when Allah's divine power moves through a person, he becomes a warrior even if he doesn't know it. And that's all of us. And to make that intention, oh Allah, I want to fight. I want to be used to create this revolution. I want to stand up against the entire world of kufr. And whoever makes it. So in this war, when you're having that cricket game, now you're getting that bowler running. And he's running from the end of the stadium. Because he wants to send down the fastest ball in his life. And he knows the batsman is not paying attention. So this is the best chance, opportunity. His attention has been distracted. So you see Mr. Shaitan running. As he reaches the place to bowl, now he bowls right in line. Now that ball is going to hit middle stump. And just before when it bounces, an amazing wind blows. And as that wind blows, it just goes past the stumps. And as it goes past, then you see the whole stadium, he just missed. Now he starts again his game. Now he starts running. And as he bowls, then one wind comes, just goes that way. Now imagine that game. He just touches the bat, and he just goes past the fielder. He just dives to grab it, and he misses. Because in the game of cricket that we are playing, our Allah is in charge of the ball. So that is why we still sitting here today. Otherwise, our wicket was gone long ago. Now why is Allah so kind that we're not even worrying about the game and Allah is worried of our wicket so much? It's because Allah is Allah. He is fighting our competition. All we have to do is stand, be ready. So when Allah is the one fighting the competition, the game is supposed to become now very easy. Which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then mentioned, now the plans of shaitan has become like a spider web. That in that spider web, if the insect is caught, the spider becomes very big. And the spider starts walking to the insect and telling him, you fool, you stupid. Couldn't you see the web? The web was invisible, you couldn't see it. But because the insect is small, the spider is big. But when the owner of the house comes in and he sees the spider web, then he just goes, phew. And as he goes through, that whole web falls and that big spider becomes small. You see, when you kill a big spider, where he becomes? How small he becomes? Allah is the owner of this house here. And when Shaitan talks and we don't know our Allah is behind, he talks big. But that person who sees the power of Allah behind, suddenly Shaitan becomes small. So we have to see that power. In explaining that power, Almighty Allah explains how this war is being fought. So He says, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. That the entire world that is moving, the physical world and spiritual world, it's moving with that current which Almighty Allah is sending. My hand lifting, my hand dropping, my ear listening, my mouth, my tongue, my looking, my receiving, my understanding. It is all happening because divine current is coming and we're all moving. And thereafter there is something called spiritual current. Because of the spiritual current, one woman in America who met no Muslim, who's walking in the streets, she sees in the bin something written there, Quran translated. How many Quran translations we have seen, it never changed us. She doesn't know what makes her go in the bin, pick up the Quran, it's dirty, she wipes it. She opens up one page, she looks at one line. We could have given that woman da'wah 25, 30 times. She would always say, I'm strong. But when that current hit that heart of that woman, suddenly you see her reading that dirty Quran. And she doesn't want to leave it. She's just standing there. And when you ask her, what made you change your life? You say, I don't know. It was just one thing, one current hit her. This is that divine current. When this current moves in the world, then the world of shaitan finds himself helpless. There is that noor coming from Almighty Allah's side. مَثَلُ نُورِهِ. But how does this noor work? كَمِشْكَات. Mishkat means like a crevice you have in the wall, like where we put our Quran Sharifs in the wall. It's like a gap. Almighty Allah has made that His noor could have been everywhere in the world. But had it been everywhere in the world one time, two things would have happened. One is man would have not managed to make tahammul himself, to manage to hold that noor, and he would have fell down. And the other is there would have been no imtihan, no test. So Almighty Allah directs His noor. And that noor now goes into certain spots. And from that spot, that noor flies out. Among those major spots is what we call the Kaaba itself. It is the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the Mubarak Quran. It is the men of Almighty Allah. Each person according to his capacity draws in that noor. They are that crevice. And that crevice shines now in one direction. It won't shine in three directions. It will hit the person who wants to be hit. In front of the messenger of Allah, there was a Abu Jahl and a Abu Lahab and a Abu Talib. They were the closest, more than those people who only saw the messenger of Allah once in their life. But the problem was, they were in the other three directions. So that noor could never hit them. And then you get one person who comes and sits in front one time. And he says, oh Allah's messenger, teach me something. Or he says, oh Allah's messenger, I want to make zina, I don't know what to do. And Rasulullah s.a.w. looks at him, divine current goes through. He gets knocked, and suddenly the rest of his life says, after that the thought of zina doesn't go through my mind. What was it? It was one knock of divine current. So there are crevices which will shoot, but it will hit the one who wants to be hit. Kamishkatin. In that crevice there is a lantern. That lantern is the Kaaba. That lantern is the body of the heart of the Rasul of Allah. It is the Quran itself, that is that lantern. Al-Misbahu fi Zujaja. And then that lantern has its own covering also. The heart of the Rasul of Allah got the body covering it. Quran itself got what we call the pages covering it. The lines covering it. The cover covering it. It got its own cover. And Asal Kaaba, what it is, it has its own covering also. It has its parada, it got its bricks, and then you have the Kaaba inside. This is that lantern. Regarding the lantern, now Allah Ta'ala says that the lantern itself is such that if a man had to look at it, he will think this itself is a pearl. That you go to the Kaaba, you die for the Kaaba. The Kaaba itself is so unique. The body of the Rasul of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so unique. Quran itself is so unique. Which Quran mentions that it itself is so unique, it seems like that body itself would have been sufficient to give light to the world. وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُ نَارٍ. Even if there was no fire pushing it, it itself is Nurani. But now that Nurani body got divine current moving through. Now it has become Nurun ala Nur. That from Allah Ta'ala side it's moving. And as it goes through that body, and now it starts shining in the entire world, and whoever grabs onto that body, his entire life changes. There were many times when I would think one of the hardest things to pull a person out is porn and drugs. Porn, to a great extent, you can tell the person, stop it. Although he says, I want to, I want to. Everything you want to, it's called an itch. When the mosquito bites, you have to also scratch. Then you have to tell the child, my child, the more you scratch, the bigger the bite becomes. When I was small, I was scratching on the mosquito bite. So it gets worse. So one uncle now told me that you must not scratch this thing. He says, because inside, the mosquito has laid eggs. And those eggs like massages. So every time you scratch, now they enjoy it. And if you stop scratching, then that egg is not getting massaged, so you will die. So the example was a unique example. It was a big lie also, but it worked. I stopped scratching. And in that stop, I learned one thing. If you can hold yourself for a few minutes, the itch will go away. That boy who masturbates, he wants to know how to stop. He'll have to hold himself. The best thing for a person masturbating is to do weightlifting. Every time you want to just take a weight, how strong you will become. You'll be a mujahid. Someone say, where you became a mujahid? You say, I just changed from one to another. Lot of things that you have to do. Now what happens? The boy comes to us after he finished the masturbation. After he finished looking at the porn, you say, you know, last night I masturbated. So last night finished already. Last night you're supposed to phone when that itch was there. At that time you're supposed to look, how do I stop myself? You can't do the guna and then come after and say, make tawbah for me. You have to also learn how to control. And it's not easy. Drugs is that pull. After that first, that man who's in that bottom now, his airplane has crashed because of the drug that took him right to the bottom. Now he's looking for a way to come out. The only way is the next drug. So I would always think that in drugs there is the worst pull of shaitan. The biggest tool to open man to the world of the jinnat is the drugs. When man takes it, he becomes introduced to the jinn. And you may think it's lovely to see the jinnat, pretty face, pretty girl. But it is nothing unique. When the jinn attack man, they don't leave after that. They daily looking for a way to get in. And when they find this way, I mentioned previously I had one friend, I still got him, still alive, alhamdulillah. But now I don't meet him so much. So one day in the car he told me, I got one unique story to tell you. And maybe he told me this because he thought I'm a man who understands jinnat. I wrote one article the other day, what's it, looking into the world of the jinn. So explaining about shaitan, and my intention is Dajjal. So one uncle phoned, he said, he wants to speak now, he found my number. So he said, hey, I appreciated the article so much, I was so happy. I said, alhamdulillah, at least someone's understanding. So he said, it seems you know about the jinnat, because I got jadu for 30 years now. I don't know that game at all. But that game now, so this boy, he told me, he also thought maybe I can pull out his jinn. So he told me, I got a problem. That when I was about 14 years old, whatever happened, that one gap came there. And in that gap, one jinniya, one pretty jinn girl fell in love with him. So you will all say, hey, lucky guy. But it was no lucky thing, because you can manage with your own species. Now that boy was going in Jamaat, and every night as he sleeps, he in his dream is seeing things happening. And when he wakes up, his whole bedding is messed. So now he is going for a shower. Now he went for a shower for day number one. Then he went for a shower night number two. Then he went for a shower night number three. Then Amir Sahib is telling him, you know, you must read Wasamai, Watariq, you must do this, you must do that. Now everyone knows that this man, he needs to get married. But the boy, he got no problem. Then he said it carried on. He would not go in Jamaat so much. He never knew what's happening in his life until he got married. When he got really married, now that one became jealous. So now every time he wants to go to his real partner in life, that one is interfering. And before he can reach his partner, that one there prevents the reaching. Now he will ejaculate before he can even come. Now things he had to tell his wife, hey, I got a problem. And now one day he's driving his truck and suddenly he looks and he sees her sitting next to him. The first time there was almost an accident. Because imagine you see a pretty girl, you might get thrilled about it, but for him it was no thrill. And she just smiled at him, and his whole body started perspiring. Now he doesn't know, must he talk, must he not talk? He's just driving, and he's reading his Ayatul Kursi, and then she disappeared. Thereafter she started coming more and more. So I asked him in detail, and he told me that after that she started bringing his children also. That from her he already got children. So she would bring the children. But the Armil told him, don't ever speak. When his wife gets headaches, he gets headaches. So recently when I met him, his wife now gave birth to the second child, meaning his real wife. He says that birth was so hard in the hospital, his wife defied all the machinery of the hospital. Everything failed, every machine. And finally the doctor told him that I think your wife is going to go, the child is going to go also. The nurse had to come tell him that the doctor don't want to walk in. And then Allah Ta'ala made it, and there was a whole world of war taking place with the different jinnat. And suddenly that jinn was just pushed out of the room and the child came. And thereafter he says for about 7 weeks his wife could not stand up from the bed. She was so finished. Now you understand when that gap opens. The world of drugs is to open that gap. So that the jinn who hate man can somehow get in. And when they get in, then they finish your life. You will see a man who's not on drugs, but it has its what is called remembrance procedure. That when you took the drug, you went into one world. You thought you were in Jannah, but you were in the world of the jinn. Now it comes back. So you will see this person walking, walking. Suddenly you look at the sky, you start laughing. Now your own child will tell you, what's wrong with this man? He's nuts. But he's not nuts. He's seeing now. The jinnat are playing soccer in front. Or he starts screaming and he's running. And everyone's looking at him. Where is he going? Because the jinnat are now chasing him. And it doesn't only happen to Muslim boys. It happens to the non-Muslim. Non-Muslims who fell in the world of drugs wrote their stories. And they're asking, someone please pull me out. Please pull me out. So I used to always wonder, how will a man get pulled out of this world of drugs? And Allah Ta'ala then made me see one incident. And this incident, for a while it has played in my mind, so I will narrate it, hopefully it hits your heart also. And if you can come into this nur of Almighty Allah somehow or the other, Allahumma waqiyatan kawaqiyatil walid is a unique dua. With the ya waqiyah, which means, oh Allah, how a child is protected, either by the zat of Allah or by the mother. See that 1-year-old child, 2-year-old child becomes terrible too. That child doesn't know what harms, what benefits. That child goes anywhere. He'll take any dish, he'll bang it, he'll get cut, he'll take a knife, he'll cut himself. There are so many ways that child can destroy himself. But one, Allah is looking after the child. So he goes from year 1 to year 2, year 2 to year 3. Suddenly the child is like Mr. in charge. But as long as the child was not in charge, and the mother also knew, I don't know what's happening with my child. One, Allah was looking after the child. How all of us were once upon a time that child. And then there is the mother, how she worries of the child. When the child comes to the road and he wants to cross, then he looks at the mother that, I don't know how to cross. So the mother makes sure she puts her hand by the child. And if that child doesn't look at the mother, he's a stubborn child, and he tries to cross, then the mother grabs him from behind. And she might even give him one slap, and he says, how stupid you are, you get knocked. But she won't let the child get banged. Now in this dua we say, oh Allah, how that child is protected, either by you, oh Allah, or by the mother. Oh Allah, make and regard me as the child. And I'm not the child who's looking at my Allah to help me. I'm the child who wants to run into the world. And how the mother grabs that child, I say, oh Allah, you grab me also. And I want to fall into the world of kufr. I want to fall in the world of drugs. Many of us, ulama are such that they normally say the child of a person is his secret. So whenever you speak to someone's child, then you can understand what's the mizaj a lot of times of the parent. So if you meet a person and his child is crazy about cars, then you must understand someone in his family, his father, his uncle, someone is mad about cars, only because that man is a Maulana, he can't say it. That I like Porsche, I like Lamborghini. But it grows in the child. Now when the time comes for the child to become, to study, and you tell the child, you don't want to become an alim, a Maulana, that's the last in his list. He got a whole list, I have to be an engineer, a technician, a plumber. The reason is when his father, every time the tap something was wrong, so now that Maulana got no money, so he says, hey, I have to call a plumber. If only I was a plumber. So the child learns it now, so he says, hey, I must become a plumber. Then I don't have to call any plumber. Become an electrician, become a mechanic, become this. He got a whole list. And you tell him, you don't want to become a Maulana. He said, one day, inshallah. Why is that? So what was I saying? So the child. So how the child gets protected? We want to fall in the world of kufr. When we see that smart car going past, and we look in the car and we see the smart auntie in the car, then our desire is, oh Allah, make me wealthy. So one day I'll get the car and I'll get the girl in the car also. Both will come in my nasib. When you see someone going for holiday, how we burn. That if only I can be. But I can tell you one thing, wherever you'll go in the world, if this heart can open up, whatever you will see in the world, Allah Pak will then start showing you the realities of that thing. In Cape Town there's one place called Cape Point. So it's a very high point, and you come there and they say this is like the meeting of the two oceans. And the reason why they tell people that it's not the meeting of any ocean, it's the same one, Atlantic Ocean. So I feel why they tell people is otherwise no one will go all that way up there. So at least they come there, then you say, hey, now you hear the person saying, there you can see, daddy. That color is different. There's a meeting and the man you say, hey, I can't see it. And one girl is telling her mother, that's the Atlantic, that's the Indian. She says, oh, maybe it's the other way around. That's the Indian, that's the Atlantic. Both Atlantic. Now she's looking at a map now. She's trying to work out. So all a big lie. But what happens is because of the wind, one wind brings warm current, one wind cold current, the current creates color change in the water. So that is why you got a slight color change. So everyone will say the meeting of two oceans is the same ocean. Whatever it is, to go all that way up now, there's two ways. You can either go by a cable car, which is a very easy thing, but you have to pay money. Or you have to go walking. So the person who doesn't want to spend is going to walk. And the person who wants to spend is going to go with the car. But even the car comes to a certain spot, then you have to walk. Everyone says you walk today and you see a lovely sight. So we did the walk, we did the car also, we did the walk, we came to the top. We came to the top, we were nice and tired. Now everyone says, hey, what a lovely view, we're looking here. But in the end of the day, you know you're tired. So as I was looking at that day, one thought came to my mind, that how beautiful this world is, that Almighty Allah in the world showed the reality of the world. That if you want to reach the top to see the beautiful ocean, you will have to put yourself in a great amount of difficulty. You will have to either pay big amounts of money, or you will have to either break your body and reach. And now when you're on top now the child says, let's go back. And everyone says, please man, it took us so long to get to the top. After 5-10 minutes, the child is bored. There's nothing. Then the one coming down, I said, this is a mirror to Jannah. But the mirror is not Jannah in the end of the day. Because in Jannah, when we want to see the beautiful oceans, we won't have to walk to the top and kill ourselves. In Jannah, we will say, I want to be, and you will be. The oceans will come to meet you. In this world, you want anything nice, go to any resort and spoil your eye on the filthy woman who are walking around naked. Even then, instead of getting happy, I guarantee you, you will become sad. One is, if you married already, you will become sad. If only I could have married that woman. Because every woman is going to look more smarter than your woman. That is the world of shaitan. So when you look, you're not going to become happy. And if you're not married also, when you look at her, you still feel sad. Because you know, hey, I want her, but I can't get her. One man was sitting in the train with his wife, bride. Now she was all dolled up. So no parada. So when he sat on the other side, another uncle sat, but he was a big person. So he started like googling, eyeing out this man's doll, looking at her face, looking at her cheeks, looking at the nose. And the husband, he was a thin person, so he was feeling upset, but he knows he can't do anything. So he's burning, and a girl is a girl. She likes to be admired. So when she sees someone looking, she smiles, she goes, girl, that's a girl. So he's burning, but he can't do anything. So finally, he got in a burst of anger, but he can't do anything. So he got angry and he told the person, look how much you want to look. And then quietly said, but tonight she's going to sleep with me. She's not yours. You can die for her. She's mine. In this world, in you want, you're not going to get. But what is Jannah? Jannah is, Allah Pak will show you a model of the most unique woman that you could have ever imagined, you couldn't imagine. Whatever you can imagine, your wife will become that. You will become that. Then there are those models you can't imagine. So Almighty Allah will display in the market. You will see those models and now you'll start imagining. Hey, I wish my wife. And when you come there, your wife will be even better than that. Models will change on every second in Jannah. This is not our Jannah, this one. It's a lie. So what I was saying, in the world of drugs, how do you come out? So I read this incident that this one small group of children, they were taken in an Arab country to the outskirts, like into that village, very far away. Either they went in Jamaat, or they went in an excursion or something, they reached a certain masjid very far inside, not near the city. And the child who was in the Jamaat was very impressed by one young person about 30 years old, who they're calling Abu Yusuf, Sheikh Abu Yusuf. And in the Arab lands, you got this qabilas like, and you got the Sheikh of the qabila. So the Sheikh of the tribe was about 85 years old. He's like Abu Wabbah or something. So he's coming and saying, Sheikh Abu Yusuf, this is the problem. So he asked people, he says, you know, this is the Sheikh of the qabila, the big shot. And the Shaykh Abu Yusuf, he came about 7-8 years ago. But these people have taken him in their arms. And he's teaching them deen, and they respect him and they love him. And his whole day and night is involved with deen. So this boy looked at the Shaykh and he was very attracted to this Abu Yusuf. He liked him, he liked his talks. So now when he goes home, he tells his father, he describes Shaykh Abu Yusuf to his father. So as he's saying, speaking about him, how he talks, how he looked, so the father started crying. So he gets shocked, so he asks his father, what are you crying for? So the father just says that you reminded me of Khalid. And then the father goes away. So his younger brother or sister, whatever it is, asks, who's this Khalid? So first he's trying to ignore the question. Then he says, no, daddy is called Abu Khalid. Our father is Abu Khalid. He never even thought about it. So he says, so who's this Khalid? He says, Khalid is actually our brother. He says, where is he? I never met him. He says, no, you were about 2 years old when he passed away. So then this person is saying, tell me about Khalid. So he doesn't want to tell. So carrying on persisting, not letting his brother sleep, finally he says, okay, I'll tell you, but just don't tell daddy about it. So he says, we were living in a village for many years, and before I was born, Khalid was born. And he was the unique child of the entire village in character, in akhlaq, in deen, in everything. And now in madrasa, he started increasing, getting good marks. In school, he's getting good marks. So someone mentioned to the father that your child got a bright future. So you must go to the city and enroll him in the universities, meaning in the what we call Western type university, because he must become someone in the world. Go to this country, go to that country. You will come out of the village with your small sheep, your goats. So the father took on to the idea and they went to school. He says, now when my brother Khalid started going, he was also of age. So Khalid would come and talk to him at home and tell him how lovely school is. And then one day Khalid is telling him that today in school, that group of friends with me, I started noticing they got certain signs that they make. Either with their eye, with their fingers, and the teacher doesn't grab it. But they know what they're saying. So I want to find out what does these signs mean. So the young brother is like, he says, what difference it makes? So Khalid says, I find out everything. There's no gaps for me. So slowly he goes into this group, he makes salam with them, they don't want to accept him, they're always looking at him like, you Mr. Pious. But he wants to know what these signs are. So one day he finds that the group is broken, there are two boys in the group. So he goes to them and he says, please, so many days I have been with you, can't you trust me? One thing I want to know, what does the sign mean? So this is the sign, you can't understand it, you learn it. So how do you learn it? He says, okay, come with us, we're going to a certain place and you will learn it in that course. So they take him, and we all know it's the game of drugs. He was a boy from the village, he never knew what a drug is. So when he comes there, and they introduce him to his first pill. That first pill, whatever he did to him, but Khalid was knocked out. And in the morning when he wakes up, it's the first time in his life he has missed his salah. When he wakes up, he's thinking what time it is. He's looking at his clock. And his friends are all gone. He comes out, he looks, he finds his way home. His mother, father were worried the whole night. What happened? He had first time in his life he had to make up a lie. And in that lie he's worried. What if his father asked his friend and his friend said, I don't know. But whatever, Allah kept it covered. And after a while that itch started again. When that itch started, he went to his friend. He said, I still don't understand the signs. He said, you will understand it goes along. So he says, when can I get more of this? So he said, a certain night you will meet us. And they introduce him higher and higher. At the beginning everything is free, but it doesn't stay free. Then you'll have to start paying. One person said, one of these clubs that are in Johannesburg, one of the men, normally you have this Nigerian or other country men, they're in charge. So they'll never take drugs. They won't allow one drug to touch their body. Because they understand once they take one drug, their entire life is destroyed. They will give drugs. They will give drugs to girls and they will give it to boys. In the beginning it will be a free game, but once they got you, now you have to start paying. In paying, he says, that the man mentioned that in my club I got girls of different ages, different races. You'll have your Indian, you'll have your Muslim, you'll have your Christian, you'll have your Jew, you'll have your Zulu, you'll have your Chinese, your Japanese, whatever you can get in South Africa. You want to eat all types of menus, you'll have it there. But the amazing thing he said is that girl sells her body cheaper than what the prostitute sells her body. A prostitute might charge, I don't know this, I never stopped to ask one, but whatever she'll charge. She might be charging 250, 300, 400, whatever it is. But the amazing thing is that sometimes this girl sells her body for 25 rands. 25 rand. And in one night she has to do so much to get that amount of money to get another drug, that normally a girl after a few times she can't do. So they got a new drug created to make her like an animal, that her body just carries on, carries on, carries on. And then on each one she has to write number one, number two, so she shows the boss in the ending. What is the condition of that girl? What is happening in that day? Why drugs grabbed him? So in the beginning it's free, so now they started charging him. Whatever money he could get, he was giving, but now you can't pay. Now it comes the time where his mother is realizing something's wrong with my Khalid. And when she's trying to talk to him, he's no longer the good Khalid, the good character Khalid, the answering Khalid. Khalid doesn't want to meet anyone, he doesn't trust anyone. And money is going missing. But then the time comes where Khalid can't manage anymore. So his father is gone out on a Jamaat. Most likely it was Jamaat, although he's not writing that, they maybe knew the Arabs won't accept the book after that. So he just says he went out for a period of about 25, 40 days or something. He says, in that time Khalid told the mother, I want this of yours. It was like a jewel which the mother would wear on her necklace. So the mother says, Khalid, what do you want this here for? Because this came from my grandmother. And you know how people appreciate. So Khalid grabs it. And he pulls the whole mother down to try to get it out. And a mother is a mother, not a father. She's not going to punch her son. So this brother who's seeing the story, he says, when I saw that, I jumped on Khalid. That Khalid was like a monster now in strength. So he pushed me one side. And he started strangling me. Now my mother is trying to pull Khalid out. And that whole thing is carrying on. And Khalid grabs the thing and he just walks out. Now Khalid is gone. Now when the father comes back, the mother has to explain to the father, where's Khalid? So he says it carried on, there was a lot of searching, whatever happened. One day as I'm walking, I saw Khalid. And he was looking finished. So I ran home to say, Daddy, Daddy, I found Khalid. So the father runs now to meet Khalid. And this is a unique lesson also out of this Khalid story. That in this game, when Allah Ta'ala has opened up this anwar, Shaitan will always make you feel there's no way you can come back. You had enough chances already. Every day you make tawbah, before your tawbah is even finished, you broke your tawbah. So stop making the tawbah, don't fool yourself. In this game, Allah Pak starts the Quran on Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. That Allah will not get tired of pulling you back as long as you don't get tired of putting your hand up again. In this game, there is no I tried enough times. A father has four sons. So normally if your three sons are good, one son is always going to be the rotter. What you call this, three sheep, one wolf. So this one wolf now, he's in drugs, he's in girls, he's in raves, he's finishing his father. A time comes where the father also says, get out of the house, and he goes. But when his friends leave him, and now he's owing money, and now the drug people say, we're going to kill you if you don't pay. At that time when he's 25 years disappeared, 10 years disappeared, he phones home. When he phones home, he says, mommy, I don't want to talk to daddy. But you know what, I mean major problems. Because he knows a mother's love is a mother's love. So the mother that night now will dress up smart. And she'll prepare herself for the husband. The husband comes and the husband sees now there's no barrier. But now if the mother says no, you say what's wrong? You say, you know what, your son. So at that time the father will say, anything you want. Just that Moana taught us that a man gets married. So on the first night as he's touching his wife, massaging his wife, so she says, you know, I have to see my mother like once a day. My mother is old. He says, no problem, whatever you want. He says, you know, every now and then I want to go for Umrah. My parents will take me, no problem, whatever you want. Massaging. He says, what? Don't ask, whatever you want. Just. So she gets so thrilled now, she gives in. The next morning she's writing her list of how many things she wants. Because the promises, don't forget it. As he comes now for breakfast, he doesn't want to see paper and pen. He wants to see eggs, sausages. So he finds the writing, he says, what's this? As he's looking, his eyes open up. So she says, didn't you promise me last night? So he takes the pen, he's a master in Arabic. He's a Mawlana, he writes one Arabic ibarat. He writes, Kalamul Layl Yamuhuhun Nahar. Talks of the night is erased during the day. Bedroom talk, where are you thinking of bedroom talk? It will happen tonight. Kalamul Layl Yamuhuhun Nahar. So that auntie, whatever it is, the father, she said, don't worry, your son. Next morning, the father phones. The son wants to say, Daddy, I'm so sorry. What will the father say? If that father has a heart of a father, the first thing he will say, my son, come home. Forget all your stories, just come home. He said, but I'm owing so much money. He said, you come home, I will sort out everything tomorrow. We want to see you tonight. And when that boy comes home, it's a natural thing, the father will tell the mother, that today you make that food which he used to like. So although three sons remain obedient, on that day, no one's bothered about them. They're not Mr. Important. They want to come visit that day with their children. Mommy will say, you know, today so and so is coming. Daddy wants to spend time with that child. You all come another day. The boys who are obedient are pushed one side. And the one who was disobedient is pulled under attention. And when the boy wants to talk, whatever he's saying of the past, the father says, forget the past. Everything is sorted out. Everything. So in this world of deen, it's like that. Which Mashaykh would explain, لَعَنِينُ الْمُذْنِبِينَ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ زَجَلِ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. That the cry of the sinner, when he says, oh Allah, is more beloved to his creator than the movement of the beads on the tasbih. The other man is saying, Subhanallah, he also got Allah's special attention. But the one man who is a sinner who says, oh my creator, he becomes VIP that night. Everybody else is pushed. So this Khalid, when his father heard that Khalid was seen, way his father went mad, he went to bring Khalid home. Khalid said, Daddy, I don't know, how do I come? He said, come home. So Khalid is now brought home. But Khalid remembers what he did to his mother, what he did to his brother. And how do you look your parent in the face? And Khalid still got the itch. So after staying good for a while, that school now, Khalid is taken back. Don't you want to go to school? He has already failed, but they accept him again. Give him a last chance. And that itch starts again. Now that school is going on an excursion, so Khalid tells his father, Daddy, I want to go. And the father doesn't want Khalid because he doesn't know which friends of that school brought him into the world of drugs. And Khalid don't want to talk. But Khalid persisting, finally the father lets Khalid go. As Khalid goes out now, they go in the desert, easy to go for an excursion, they have their tents. So whatever happened, within the next 3 days or something, they're supposed to return after 10 days, but in 3 days time, the news came that there was a major fire. It started at one place where the students were. See the madrasa I learned from the story maybe. The students were doing their cooking, and one fire started. And that fire took the whole tent. And the other people of the tents woke up to the smell of smoke, so by the time the fire people came, one tent went, and everyone in the tent, 15 of them, they were burnt beyond recognition. And they never knew also of the fire. The doctors explained that they died in the suffocation, meaning in their sleep. So they would never have known, let's get out of the tent. So whatever happened, now Khalid is gone. So he says, that was our Khalid. May Allah have mercy on him. So Khalid went. So in the morning now, when they're going for Fajr Salah, this young boy says, Daddy, do you still love Khalid? So the father looks, he looks at the big brother like a little bit irritated that. So he said, what do you know about Khalid? The other brother is feeling now shy now, because you tell a person, a secret is like this. If you want ever something to spread, all you have to do is tell a person, you know what, this is a secret. There you go, one shot. Everyone will know it. So he told his brother, don't tell. First sentence, Daddy, you like Khalid. So the father started crying. So after Fajr, the father says to the son, now, I want to go meet that sheikh. Just go meet him. Because the way you spoke about him, so the father comes in that company and the father loves the sheikh. And now he says, my father used to start attending his durus. He would make us go every now and then for the durus of the sheikh. And my father is listening. So 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and my father is mad about this man. Telling my mother about Sheikh Abu Yusuf. So one day now the father, when everyone goes away, wants to go meet the sheikh. To explain where I come from, the city and my name. So when the father comes there, Abu Yusuf's face changes. And now he can't talk. So then Abu Yusuf makes some ishara to some people to go away, and then he makes this group sit there. And he says, let me tell you my story, Abu Yusuf says. He says, one night I was with my group, and we were far from Allah. We never knew Allah. There was no salah in our life, no nothing in our life. And when we went out, me and my friends went hunting. So we went in the car, and we went out, and we did our hunting. Now when it's coming close to Maghrib, There were three of us in the car, so we said, let's get back. But in a desert, if you take a wrong turn on the road also, you're going to end up somewhere else. So driving, we realize we're in the wrong direction. So we turn around coming back, the roads are very dark. So what we say, instead of wasting petrol, you don't know where we're going, we just stop, spend the night in the car. And tomorrow when the day starts, we will find our way easily home. So that night, he says, my one friend had to go for istinja. So he comes out of the car, it's dark, but he goes with his torch, and suddenly we hear screams. He's screaming for his life. We want to open, and suddenly something makes us just close the doors. And we realize we are surrounded by wolves. And that person is screaming to death, and those wolves finished him. He says, in that night now, we see the wolves trying to scratch the windows of the car. They're surrounding the car, and whole night they are. And me and my friend, we are shivering. We are like screaming, because we don't know whether the wolf will break through. We're making sure everything is locked, and it just moves. He says, this is the first time in my life I started reading, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ. So as I'm reading, I'm telling my friend, read. And I'm telling him Ayatul Kursi, and I'm teaching him. He doesn't know Ayatul Kursi, and I'm just reading, and he's reading. And on that Ayatul Kursi, a certain condition came upon us. A unique condition. And we fell asleep. In that fear, we fell asleep. And when I opened my eye in the morning, and I'm waking up my friend, the first thing is like, he's having a nightmare. He said, are we alive? Are we alive? And he said, I can't believe it. And we're looking, and there's no wolves. Is it a dream? Where's our friend? Now we open the door and we see only blood. There's no body in it. So now they are finished. They're crying. They say we have to get back. As they're driving, they realize they got no petrol in their cars. And they don't know where to go. So they say they got a few more liters. They're selling. And as they're driving, they're going nowhere. And the time comes where finally now Zohar time comes. And it's hot. He says that morning was the first time when it was day, where I read Fajr. That I can remember. But it says, in that Fajr, a condition came upon me and my friend. That we just cried. So what was that? Allah Ta'ala brought that nur upon them. When that nur came upon, he says, in that car, all time I'm telling my friend, did you ever experience something like this today? No drug ever gave them that ecstasy, which when that nur surrounds a person. They never found it in drugs. So he says that we're speaking about it, Zohar time, it was now very hot. And no food left. So now my friend is telling me, I don't know how, what's easier, to die like this or to die with the wolves? Because the wolves will take you one shot. But dying like this here might take 3-4 days. And he says, as we're carrying on, it's getting hotter. My friend needs water, I'm giving him water, perspiration. He's falling unconscious, he's waking up. I'm also suffering. And now when night time comes now, so my friend says, I don't think I'm going to make it to the morning. Either the wolves, I don't know, must I just go out and let them kill me, or either I'll just die in my sleep. So he tells his friend that, you know, but he said, I also think I'm not going to make it. So that night I looked at my friend and said, maybe this is the last time I look at you. And again that day he said, we made sure we performed our salah. A time came, he says, well, I'm telling my friend, isn't it better if the wolves just eat us? Maghrib time. So I told my friend, why don't we get out of the car and read Maghrib, and in Salah they can jump. And my friend is telling me, but isn't that suicide? Maybe Allah won't be happy. Now he's worried about that unique fiqh masala. Imagine. So he says, he thought about it, he said, it makes sense, we read namaz in the car. Because when that nur comes, knowledge comes also. Everything comes, that magnet is now pulling. So he says, the next morning I woke up and my friend was now on the verge of death. So I ask him, are you not scared to die? Alright, inshallah, I'll take about 10 minutes. Right? So I ask him, are you not scared to die? So when that nur surrounds a person, when we come out of this lie, we're living in a world that we want to live, we don't want to die. The reason is because we don't know what's coming in front. We have seen Anne and Suzanne and Juliet. We haven't seen that woman of Jannah. We haven't seen the hills of Jannah, the waters of Jannah, and we haven't been introduced to the creator of all beauty. When that Allah comes in the heart of a person, then the man wants to go. Then you will understand this world is nothing but a lie. This world is a world of sickness, a world of problems, a world of exams, a world of laws, a world of expelling or detention or standing or holding a wall. Whatever it is, this is a unique world. In this world, your happiness is sadness. Your money is worry. Your poverty is a problem. Your wealth is a bigger problem. In wealth, you worry the collector is going to come. The beggar is going to come. Mr. Taxman is going to come. The robber is going to come. And when you are a poor man, you're looking for money. In this world, your izzat, you always worry it mustn't be taken away tomorrow. And your zillat is zillat. Is there any happiness in this world? A man landed up by the doctor. You ever go to a doctor, you come out with one extra thing. Besides what you got in your body, you're supposed to have all the sicknesses. You reach the age of 45, you're supposed to be sick. You don't need a doctor to tell you you're sick. If the doctor tells you there's nothing wrong with you, go to another doctor. But you come back with one more thing from the doctor called depression. That yesterday you never knew you got sugar, now you know you got sugar. Now you're depressed. And if you got a wife, you got another problem. That as you're driving, your wife will start nagging. I told you don't have that ice cream. I told you don't have that chocolate. You don't listen, you don't listen. Now that man comes home, his wife says, from now on, I'm in charge. You will not eat unless I give the go-ahead. So she puts him on a salad diet. So much salad comes out from his ears, from his nose. Only salad. He wants chicken, he wants mutton, he wants ice cream, he wants faluda. Every time he wants something, she says, you listen to me, you will live 10 years longer. In the hope of 10 years. So it happened as driving, there was an accident, both of them died. Now they land up in Jannah. Now this is a story. So as they land up in Jannah, the angel says, welcome. He says, sir, come in. He says, sir, would you want a game of golf? Because the angel knows that you are worried about your health, so you were playing golf when you were young. So you say, golf. So the man was a man of golf, but he knows to play golf, you need the money of a golfer also. So he asked, how much does it cost to enter the club? So he says, sir, this is Jannah. In Jannah, everything is free. He says, don't lie to me. I heard the story enough in the world. There must be that hidden clause. So anything, the angel pushes him, and in Jannah, you win also. In this world, you play a match, even if you win, your wife will tell you, yeah, the guy was weak, that's why. In Jannah, your wife will get amazed, say, wow, hey, you good man, you win. In Jannah, the whole world will be clapping. So now you come out of Jannah, you're so happy now. The angel say, you don't want to swim, what a lovely swim. After the swim, now you are hungry. So now, angel says, sir, breakfast is ready. You and your wife now, this uncle and his wife is walking for breakfast. As they come in the breakfast parlor now, so on the one side it's buffet style. So on the one side you'll have what is called tandoori chicken, you'll have your fried chips, you'll have your milkshakes, you'll have your slush puppy, whatever you got, it's all there. And on the other side you have your salads. His wife had trained him without even looking at her, he walks towards the salads. So the angel tells him, sir, you start there and you end off here. So he says, you know me, I got sugar. I got high blood pressure. So the angel says, sir, I'm trying to tell you, this is Jannah. You don't have sicknesses in Jannah. There's no sugar, there's no blood pressure, there's no heart attacks. You do what you want, eat what you want, enjoy who you want, it's yours. As the angel is telling him, he's not clicking. So he's looking, and now his mouth opens. Then his eyes open. Then he looks at his wife. And in a very angry tone, he says, you idiot, I should have died 10 years ago. 10 years of salads. I could have just died. But the man who doesn't know what's coming, you don't want to die. Our condition is you're sitting on the bed. You're in your last moments, you go in the hospital, you tell the uncle, the chacha say, make dua, I live. Chacha don't want to die. You wonder what you got to live for, chacha. You're so old, you're cold already. There is nothing left in you. Die and your world will start. But chacha don't want to die. Why you don't want to die? So chacha at that time will be looking his Fatima, his daughter, his Amina, his other daughter, his Khadija, his wife. He cries when he looks at Khadija. He says, who will look after my Khadija? As if he can look after. He's so old himself. Who will look after my Khadija? My Khadija is old. Who will support her? Where she will go? As he's crying, Allah Ta'ala opens up one veil. When that veil opens, forget the creator of Jannah. You just need one pretty face from Jannah, one hoor. She just has to put her face through that parda. And she just has to look at Chacha with a smile and go to herself, In that one, Chacha, what you say? You say, Allah will look after Khadija. It's gone. Khadija, someone will look after. Let's carry on. But we don't want to die, because we don't know what's coming. It's coming. But when that world of Anwar opens, and Allah shows you that who is your creator, then the man will want to pull himself out. So this Abu Yusuf says, in that condition, I told my friend, are you ready to die? So his friend in that condition says, if I had to die 3 days ago, I would have been in the fire of Jannah. But Allah has given me such a state of ecstasy at the moment. And only he knew one surah, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. He said, I got such ecstasy in my salah that I want to go. And just before he died, he started reading his la ilaha illallah. He said, and I saw my friend go. And in his death, he died with a smile. So he says, I'm the only one left in the Kaaba. And it's going through my mind that two of my friends died. One died with the wolf. What his hashar is, I make dua, Allah take him out of jail. And one died in the car. But in the gap of one day, Allah surrounded one with nur. Where he went? And now he says, oh Allah, if he's ready to die, I'm ready to die also. So why fitting now all alone, he says, I went through such ecstasy waiting for my creator to take me out. Waiting. And he says, then I went unconscious and reading my kalima was gone. But he never died. One group going past that found him. They found him unconscious and they brought him to their village. And they woke him up. And when he woke up with an azam that, oh Allah, I promise I'll be yours forever now. Because I saw two friends how they went. So in that few years, he went out of his way to become Allah's. And at the age of 30, he becomes the sheikh of the entire qabila. Young boy. So the father is hearing that story. And then he looks at that father, Khalid's father. And he says, you know who I am? I am Khalid. He says, I am Khalid. But when everyone thought I died, we had gone out that night. But the thing is, what I had done at home never allowed me to come back home. I could never look at you in the eye or look at my mother and think of the slap I gave her. But what came in the end of that story? That how did that man get pulled out of the world of drugs? Is when he entered into the nur of Almighty Allah. When that nur hits a person, when the Umar who had a sword in his hand to take the neck of the Rasul of Allah, one nazar from the Zat of Allah onto the heart of an Umar, and a killer of a Nabi becomes the lion of Islam. That is a revolution that Allah created with Allahu Nuru Samawat. This nur is spreading. All you have to do is put up your hand and say, Allahumma waqiyatan ka waqiyatil walid. That Allah put me in that nur also. Oh Allah, make for me nur. On my right, on my left, in front, behind. Oh Allah, make me nur. That man who says, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, in that condition, that, oh Allah, please. Allah tabarakullah is not stingy. One of us can become the cause of a revolution in the world. To fight the shaitan and make him scream must be our thrill. To be able to punch the Dajjal in the face should be our thrill. To be able to stand up to the world of kufr and say, get lost, should be my thrill. To be able to stand up and say, you are not my Allah is my Allah. To make the world of the shayateen scream, that must be my thrill. To live in the pleasure of my Allah, to die in the pleasure of my Allah. And when death starts, life will start. May Allah tabarakallah grant us all understanding, make this intentions. Make dua, oh Allah, how the child is grabbed me. Oh Allah, how an Umar could be changed. I haven't got a sword in my hand. I never had a desire to kill your Nabi. The most is I like my cricket, I like my sports, I like my cigarettes, I like my girls, I like my movies. But in the end of the day, oh Allah, if someone had to tell me, kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'll never do it. So what Umar had in his mind, oh Allah, I don't have that. I'm just a normal, naughty boy. If an Umar could become a lion of Islam, oh Allah, then there's always hope for me. And it can happen. Allah Tabaraka Taala gives an example in Quran. He says, وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةً. Now just look at your cow, and you will understand what can happen with you. نُسْقِيكُمْ مِمَّا فِي بُطُونِهِ. That in the stomach of the cow, on the one side there is that number two and that filth. And on the other side there is that blood. And between blood and filth, Almighty Allah says, we take out laban and khalisan. Lovely milk. That when you drink that milk, imagine if someone has to tell you, here's milk here, but it was in the fridge, and in the fridge next to it was a bottle of stool. When you drink that milk, it won't go down. But if someone tells you this milk was in the cow, and on the one side there was stool, and the other side blood, still it goes down normal. You say, so what? There's no smell of the dirt, there's no color of the blood. Pure white milk comes out. When that milk comes out and you drink it, you say, oh Allah, give me more of this. Wow, what milk. In that, what example Allah gave? That in a world of kufr and zulmat, there can be stool on one side and blood on the other side. But if Allah wants to make you His, how milk can come out without the smell of the stool, without the color of the blood, you can also come out pure. And you will become so unique that when others will take you, they say, wow, give me more of this. This is what I love, this is what I want. One of us become the cause of a revolution in the world. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make it a reality. Wa akhiru ta'ala. Please, you can come on the radio also.
For please proceed to the Darul Quran.
Only
the evening
service.
Yusuf is also a Qaji, only he is the bigger version.
He's a Qaji or a C. It means I Qaji my K anymore. He's a Qaji or a K. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكن خيرا أو ليصمت، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. I don't want to take up much of your time. Maulana has said enough, has kept us going for quite a while. Just now will be meals also. Most of us are, the khidmat satis are gone, so we have to go next. But when it comes to the food of this world, how much can a person eat? You can eat one plate, you can eat two plates. After it you get tired. There's a story mentioned of one person that he was traveling and he came to a certain town and he went to the masjid. So one of the musallis of the masjid saw that this is a stranger, took him home for meals. When he took him home for meals, he brought the tarkari and he went to fetch the bread. When he came with the bread, the tarkari was finished. So he left the bread and he said, he'll go fetch the tarkari. When he came back with the tarkari, the bread was finished. So he carried on going up and down. 5-6 times now, he's perspiring. How much is this person going to eat? Eventually this person was satiated, satisfied, his hunger was gone. So he asked him, but where are you going? He said, I'm going to a certain town, there's a Hakim there, I'm going to see that Hakim. He said, what bimari you got? He said, lack of appetite. So this person told him, please bhai, when you're coming back, don't come past my town again. Because if this is your appetite, and you say lack of appetite, you're going to come back after the Hakim gives you the dawa, I don't know what your appetite will be. But that means in this world you can eat, but how much can you eat? And when we will enter into Jannah, when the food of Jannah will be presented to us, our Shaykh explains that if you eat the fruit of Jannah, you take the first bite, a hoor comes out. You take a second bite, another hoor comes out. That is the fruit of Jannah. The fruit of this world, you take one bite, it's sweet, you take the next bite, it's not the same as the first one, it's getting a little more sour or bitter. Then you take the next bite, you see a worm. Now you think, how many worms did you eat already before this? That is the dunya. So respected elders and beloved brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world for a very short period of time. The time that Allah has sent us into this world is a very short period of time. A time is going to come when we will leave this world. Every person that came into this world had to taste from the cup of death. Nobody came in this world and stayed forever. But every second of every minute that is ticking, we are getting closer and closer to the day we are going to leave this world. So this time that Allah has given us, we have to make this time valuable. Many a times you speak to a person and he says, I don't have the time. Which is a lie. Every person has the time. We have to make the time. And this time that Allah has given us, we should understand it as the creation of Allah. Time is the creation of Allah. If you look at the incident of the sleepers of the cave, those youth that went into the cave for the protection of the Iman, 309 years they slept in the cave. How long can a person sleep for? If we sleep 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, your back starts paining, you need to relieve yourself, you get hungry. You can't sleep for longer than that. 309 years they slept in the cave. The day they woke up and they came out of the cave, they were the same age that they went into the cave. If he was a 15-year-old, after 309 years, he was not 324 years old now. He was still 15 years old. Why? Because the creator of time had stopped time in the cave. And out of the cave, time carried on. So Allah is the creator of time. So this time that Allah has given us, Allah has illustrated to us in the Quran the importance of time by taking a qasam of time. We know the surah, Wal Asr. Allah has taken the oath of time to make us understand how important time is. And we need to make this time of ours valuable. We need to use this time in a manner that we are preparing ourselves for the everlasting life of the Akhirah. And usually, time is monitored by use of a watch. We use a watch to monitor time. Now if we look at the word watch, it comprises of 5 letters. And each letter of the word watch has a certain message for us. So next time when you look at your watch, remember these 5 lessons. The first one is the W, which stands for words. Watch your words. What you utter, what you speak. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That for every word that is uttered, there is a watcher who is recording. Your word that you utter, whatever statement you are uttering, is recorded by the angels. Now friends, one is what you utter, and one is how you utter it. For both, the statements that we make and the way we make the statements can have a detrimental effect on our iman. One is, you know, we discuss when we amongst ourselves, we discussing about global politics, what is happening in the world, what is happening in Syria, what is happening to the fluctuation of the rand and dollar and the price of oil. And many a times, and our Sheikh always mentions this also, not only the layman, sometimes the ulama also make the statement. They say the Jews are controlling the world. The Jews are controlling the economy of the world. The Jews are controlling the price of oil. Let us understand the statement. What are we saying? The Jews are controlling the world. What a statement. A statement of kufr. Who is in control of the world? Only Allah. Who controls the price of oil? Allah. Who controls the price of the rand and the dollar? Allah. What is happening in the world is an absolute control of Allah. So when we make the statement that the Jews are controlling, the Yahud and the Jutlas are controlling, they know what we are doing at this moment. That is a statement of kufr. So we need to see and we need to watch the words that we utter. In student days, when we are students, we tend to speak lies. And when you speak one lie, you need another lie to cover up the first one. And it just carries on. It's like a rolling ball. And those lies will just accumulate and accumulate. So we need to watch the words that we utter. And the other one is the way we utter it. And our Sheikh gives this example as well. Is that many a times we are reminded that by this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That because of the weakness of our iman, and because we have failed to understand the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does a person say? It is only but a sunnah. It is just a sunnah. The tone, the way you are saying it, is detrimental to your iman. Yes, it is a sunnah, but the way you are saying it is having a direct effect on your iman. So one is the statements we make. We need to watch the words we use. And one is the way we say it. Both can have a detrimental effect on our iman. So the W is watch your words. The next letter is the A. Watch your actions. Watch your deeds and your a'mal. What are you doing? For Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes mention in the hadith to the effect that when a person passes away, then three things accompany him to his qabr. And after he is buried, two return and one remains with him. The two that return is his wealth and his family. And that which remains with you is your a'mal. is your actions. So we need to watch our actions. Never should we regard any good action as a small action. Never should we regard any good action as an insignificant action and we leave it out. And never should we regard any sin as a small sin and we commit it. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, informs us in the Quran, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. The person who does an iota of good, small action of good, he will see the reward of it on the day of Qiyamah. And that person who does an iota of evil, small sin, which we will term as a small sin, and we want to do it, we will see the punishment of it on the day of Qiyamah. So friends, the second letter is the A. Watch your actions. And every action of ours in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be judged according to the intention we make. So the quality of the action, that is what we need to make an effort on. And how will we get the quality of our actions? One is to do the action, and one is to gain and to enhance that action with the quality, and that is with ikhlas and sincerity. We will get it when we sit in the company of our mashayikh, when we sit in the company of the Ahlullah, when we sit in the company of our ulama, those who have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we will sit in their company, then we will learn and we will develop this ikhlas and this sincerity. So that is the A. Watch your actions. We go on to the next letter. As I do a spelling test, what is the next letter? The T. The T stands for watch your thoughts. Watch your thoughts. When we talk of thoughts, we must never harbor ill thoughts about somebody. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he was in Masjid al-Nabawi. It was night time and one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen came to visit him in the Masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked her to the door of the Masjid. And in the distance, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen two sahaba. He called for the sahaba. And when these two sahaba came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed them that this is my wife, Safiya radiallahu anha. So these two sahaba were surprised and they said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, what else could we have thought of? You are the Nabi of Allah, what else could we have thought of?" Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the sahaba to the effect that shaitan moves in your body like how your blood is moving in your veins. I feared that shaitan could have put a thought in your mind that would have been detrimental to your iman. That you could have thought something else. Shaitan could have put that thought in your mind. And you could have thought something else, and that would have had a detrimental effect on your iman. So shaitan is moving in our body, and those thoughts will come. We should never be quick to judge a person. We should never be quick to jump to conclusions that you've seen this and you've seen that. Now you put one and one together, and that is the answer. Once there was an old man, he was sitting outside the masjid, the Jami Masjid in Delhi, and he was repeating the statement that you are not my Allah, I am not your servant. You are not my Allah, I am not your servant. And he's saying this over and over. People are walking past. They're hearing what he is saying. Immediately, the comments start flying. You know, we are quick to judge. So one person said, what is he saying? He's definitely a kafir. Another one insults him. Another one says something else. Until one person came past and he said, let me go ask the old man, Paji, what do you mean when you are saying this here? So the old man says, and he takes a sigh and he says, ah, at least there is one intelligent person who has come to ask me. He says, I am addressing my nafs. My base desire, my inner self is telling me and urging me to commit sin. And I am telling my nafs, you are not my Allah. And I am not your servant. You are not my Allah and I am not your servant. So what are the lessons from this incident? Never jump to conclusions. If there is evidence to the contrary, then give the benefit of the doubt to the person. Never judge. We are not the judges. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who judges. And Allah does not judge in this world. The day of judgment is still to come. Allah is the one who is going to judge on that day. Today our habit is very quickly we judge a person. Very quickly we jump to conclusions. So never harbor ill thoughts about the next person. This is a disease that will lead to many other diseases. And this is a disease, the disease of suspicion, the disease of harboring ill thoughts is a disease which has led to many marriages breaking up, many close friends becoming enemies, and many families disintegrating. So never judge a person, never have ill thoughts and harbor ill thoughts. Because once the ill thought and the suspicion enters the heart and it settles on the heart, now the desire comes to express it. Now you want to tell somebody about it. And the sooner you tell somebody about it, you involve yourself in another sin. That is, if that what you are saying is unfounded, it becomes slandering. If it is true, it becomes backbiting. So one sin leads to another. And once we start backbiting, once we start speaking about others, then it leads to more gunas and more sins thereafter. Today, what is our condition? When we listen to somebody, we listen to half of what is being said. And then we understand only quarter. We listen to half, we understand quarter, but when we broadcast double. That is the condition. And with social media, Twitter, WhatsApp, all this, we get messages. Without verifying the source, without verifying what has been sent to us, we forward it. Without realizing what we are doing. So the T is watch your thoughts. Then we go on to the C. The C is watch your company. Whom you befriend. Who are your friends? Who are the circle of friends that you are with? Because the way you think, the way you talk, and your actions is influenced by the friends that you keep. Al-mar'u ala dini khalili, falyandhur man yukhalil. A person will be on the religion of his friend. That means on the thinking of his friend. So be careful whom you befriend. One person said it very beautifully. Who is a true friend? Who will you regard as a true friend? Listen carefully to this statement. A true friend is he in whose presence He reminds you of Allah. He talks to you about Allah. And in your absence, He talks to Allah about you. He talks to Allah about you. That means when He is alone with Allah, when He is lifting His hands up, He remembers you in His dua. That is a true friend. When you are with Him, He is talking about Allah. When you are not with Him and He is talking to Allah, He is remembering you. A true friend is He. When you see Him, you are reminded of Allah. When you are in His company, then you do such actions that is in preparation for the life of the Akhirah. So it is important for us to have such friends around us that will encourage us towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the C. Watch your company. We come to the last letter, which is the H. Any idea what the H is? Watch your two hidden enemies. Watch your two hidden enemies. And who is the two hidden enemies? Nafs and Shaitan. Nafs, your base desire, your inner self, that is inna nafsa la'ammaratun bisu. You get that nafs that will drive you, that will command you towards su, towards evil, towards committing sin, transgressing the laws of Allah. And you get shaitan, which Maulana has mentioned, that shaitan is our open enemy. Inna shaitana lakum aduun fattakhidhuhu aduwa. Shaitan is to you an enemy, so make him your enemy. So watch out for these two hidden enemies. So if you take the word watch, you have watch your words, watch your actions, watch your thoughts, watch your company, and watch out for your two hidden enemies. Now friends, when we're living in this world, Maulana has mentioned the cricket match. I'm a football fanatic. So I will mention football. That our life in this world is like a football match. We are versing the team of Shaitan. Shaitan's team is on the other side. We are on this side. And he is going to use every tactic, every trick in the game to score against us. We have to be on the defensive and we have to be on the offensive as well. A football team, you have a defensive midfielder and you have one that is going forward also. One that looks after the defenders and one that helps the strikers. So we need to be on the defensive and we need to be on the offensive as well. And if we want to beat this team of Shaitan, then what does a manager and a coach do? He always looks at the team before that verse, this team. And what are the weak points in this team? And he will use that and he will coach his team to attack in that manner. So we have to look at the teams before us that verse the team of Shaitan. What tactics, what strategies did they use to overcome this team? And we have to look into the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. They versed the team of Shaitan. And we know that they were victorious. We know that they were successful in overpowering the team of Shaitan. So if we want to overpower and be victorious over the team of shaitan, then we have to study the life of Sahaba. We have to study the life of the awliya and see how, what tactics and what strategies they used to overcome the team of shaitan. And in a football match, there is the lines on the side. There are rules that govern the match. Our life in this world, we have boundaries. Allah has made boundaries for us. إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَالْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ. There is halal, there is haram, and there is in between. We cannot cross that line. When you are playing that football match, you can't go out of the line. You know, they say you have a right wing and you have a left wing, and then you get the left out and the right out. Those are the guys on the substitute bench. They're not playing the game. The game is played in that football field. So our life is also in this world. Allah has given us this time. We have certain boundaries which we cannot cross. Allah has laid down the rules of our life, governed by the Quran and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then you have the linesman on the side, and then you have the referee in the middle. They are controlling the game. They are checking what the players are doing. So we have kiram and katibin. They are checking every moment of our life what we are doing. There is no moment in our life that the angels are not with us. When you're going out, you're going to the clubs, to the discos, you can't say, "Shaitan, angel, you stay at home, I'm coming back just now." You can't do that, they're with you. They are recording. So kiram and katibin are the linesmen on the side, recording everything we are doing. In the football match, you know when there is a handball, you are penalized. You cannot touch the ball. In our life, there are certain things you can't touch. There are certain things which you can't go towards. If you go towards that thing and you touch that, then you are being penalized and there is a sin recorded. In a football match, you get the yellow card. That to say this, what you have done is wrong. You have either tripped a person, you have handled the ball, you get the yellow card. In life also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us yellow cards to tell us this what you are doing is wrong, come back to Allah. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah will put you through trials and tribulations. These are the yellow cards of life where Allah is telling you, you are going that way, it's wrong. There's a trial that comes upon you. You have a loss of a family member. It is for you to turn to Allah. It is a reminder for you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control and you need to turn to Allah. In a football match, you are given one yellow card. When you're given the second one, it's a red card. In life, Allah gives us many yellow cards. When the red card will come, that is the end of it. And that is death. When death will come, then there is no turning back. وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. If you look at that verse, it's surah number 63, ayah number 11, Surah Al-Munafiqun. Surah number 63, ayah number 11. وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. When the time, when the appointed time comes, then there is no respite. Surah number 63, the age of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ayah number 11, in the 11th year of Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. So even the Nabi of Allah did not get respite. There was no extension. So when we talk of the red card, that is the end of life. Then in the football match, you will get what they call a sitter. You know, when the person is right in front and he just needs to tap it in and it flies over. Torres done it, you know, against Man United. They always speak of it. Right in front and he skewed the ball. In life also we are given opportunities. We are given opportunities to score in our rewards for the akhirat. Ramadan will come. The night of the 15th of Sha'ban will come. The night of the two Eids will come. If we don't take the opportunity, we have missed the sitter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, we read that hadith in the month of Ramadan, that curse be upon that person. Jibreel alayhi wa sallam made the curse. Who finds the month of Ramadan and lets it go by without gaining forgiveness. The opportunity was there. You could have gained your forgiveness in the month of Ramadan, but you let it go by. You missed the sitter. And in a football match, you get extra time, you get injury time. But in life, there's no extra time. There's no injury time. When the appointed time comes, the angel of death will blow the whistle and it's the end of your life. And in a football match, you will always get the last minute goal they score. You know? And Man United are famous for that. They score in the last minute. That was in those days. Nowadays, teams are scoring against them in the last minute. So you get that last minute goal. Now in our life also, at the time of our death, Shaitan will want to score that last goal to clinch the victory. At the time of death, he will come to you and he will try to snatch your iman. And that is the time we have to be alert, because that is the final moments of your life. That is the final moments of the match. If you're going to give Shaitan the upper hand at that time, you have lost the match, you have lost your life. So we have to be on alert at the time of death. And how will we be alert at the time of death? Is how we lead our life in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us at the time of death. If we lead our life according to the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then at the time of death, the angels will be there to assist us to recite the kalima and be victorious. So friends, our life in this world, we can understand it as a football match. The next time we see a football match and we are looking at a match, remember what has been said and let us see how we can utilize this life of ours in a manner that we can be victorious on the day of Qiyamah. That today the football teams are running after the cups, whether it's the World Cup, whether it's the FA Cup, whether it's the European Cup. On the day of Qiyamah, we need to be running after the cups that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba will be offering to the Ummatis at Hawd al-Kawthar. Those are the cups we need to strive for. The cups of this world at that moment is celebration, and they go into that ecstasy. But after a while it's over. Those cups that we are going to receive at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one sip of that water, you will never feel thirsty again. So friends, our life in this world is very short. Allah has given us this time. We have the watch to monitor our time. We have the watch to analyze each letter, to see in which direction we are going. And we have understood our life to be like that of a football match. Let us see how we can be victorious, how we can gain the cup at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a true understanding, and more than understanding, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of practicing. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.